All right, we are on part two of our series on living for Jesus, and this will probably be the last one. It's kind of an expositional sermon where we're kind of looking at a passage of Scripture and trying to break it down line by line and just see kind of how the Lord wants to speak to us through this. And some people, I guess for whatever reason, grasped this revelation quickly. And some people struggle a little bit in getting it absorbed, you know, into their mind and their spirit so they can be able to walk in the freedom that God has for them. So hopefully, you know, we'll get that connection today, you know, where we understand what it means to be having that new life, you know, manifesting in our life. Now, have you ever wondered, now maybe you haven't, but I hope you have maybe, have you ever wondered how the Apostle Paul could go from a persecutor of the gospel to a proclaimer of the gospel? Think about that. I mean, he went all out persecuting the church. I mean, he was in it to win it. He was putting Christians in prison, all these things, but then all of a sudden, there was just a total change in his life where he went from persecuting Christians to wanting to build the church of Jesus Christ. So something had to happen. Something happened in his life that was very dramatic, and, you know, we call it, you know, sometimes the Damascus experience where, you know, God just revealed himself to him and, you know, Paul had to change his ways. And he grasped that revelation of the new life. And to me, one of the foundational thoughts that I really have operating in my life is the fact that, you know, freedom is just a revelation away. That's all it is. You may be in a situation where you've been bound up for years on a certain thing, something just holding you back, some way that you're looking at things. But I want to say it's just one revelation. That's all you need, one revelation from God. Now, without going to this too much, I don't want to dive into it too much, but, you know, sometimes we have strongholds working in our life, and stronghold, what that is, it's a series of thoughts that are interwoven together in our mind that causes us to think a certain way. You know, maybe you've been beat down. Maybe you've been belittled. Maybe your identity has been cursed. Whatever the case may be, you know, sometimes bad relationships can do that or however it works. And so those things get intertwined in your mind, and no matter what you read in the Bible, no matter what somebody says to you, you just can't have that breakthrough. What happens is by a series of process of the Holy Spirit working in our life, those things come untangled. And then that revelation, that just that thought, that revelation that comes from God gets through, and then we're free. And see, that's what we need to do, is just need to hang in there. See, God gave us the new life so that we could be part of a new thing, and that new thing is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we got to see ourselves as, a new thing. Now, last week, we looked at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 16, and the key verse is why I have the name of this message this. It says, "And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." See, that's what it means when we, you and I, receive that revelation from Jesus Christ, and, you know, we become born again, and that new life sprouts, just comes, okay? And see, when we do that, then we start to get that revelation that, you know, it's not really about me anymore, is it? It's about him. That's right. And it's about the life that he wants to live through me. Now, that's where we got to get to. I know sometimes there's a few twists and turns on the road, you know, to get us there. But now that's going to jump us down into our passage today, is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 21. Now, these are really foundational in our walk with Jesus Christ. We need to absorb these. Okay, it says here, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, to be reconciled to God. Then the last passage, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I mean, there is so much power in that passage here. If we just assimilate it, we're going to start to walk in victory. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We bind up the devil from any lie that He has spoken into our life, any stronghold. Lord, we just tear them apart. We pull them down in Jesus' name. Lord God, we thank You so much for the victory that Jesus Christ gives us in our new life. That, Lord, we know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I yield to the gift You give me. I use it for Your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at this one verse at a time, or maybe a couple verses here, but the first one I want to see, and I don't have it on the screen right now. That's why it's good to have your phone with the Bible on it, but it's best to have a real Bible, too. So you can look it up in your Bible, then you start to think, remember where it's at. You can highlight it. You can get some highlighters. We gave them out for Mother's and Father's Day. Y'all should have a highlighter unless you used it up. I heard somebody use theirs up, so they wanted one, so we gave them another. But that's good. It's better. If you don't have a Bible, you can write in. You need to go buy another one. Amen. It's not sacrilegious to mark up your Bible, to highlight it so you can find things. So feel free to do that. So the first thing we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Okay, so the first thing we're going to look at is the idea of what it means that we are a new creation. My translation also says new creature. You know, we're a new thing, you know, we're something. And when I say that, I think I was a little kid, you know, this movie's not even around. I don't know why, because is the creature from the Black Lagoon or something like that? This guy looked like a fishy looking thing, you know, it's just weird why that keeps coming to my mind. But, you know, we're a new creature or a new creation. You know, we're something totally brand new. You know, we're in Christ now. And that means a total change of the way that we should do business, the way that we should look at the world around us, and the way that we should look at people, you know? It just totally puts us in a different place. See, right now, as a Christian, you know, we're in the family of God. Now, it's good to be in a family. Hope you have a good family. You know, when I married, I married into a good family. I had a good family, but I married into a good family. Yeah, for the most part, right, hon? Yeah, it was good. No, it was good. And, you know, they're huggy people. They just, you know, just hug you and make you feel all, you know, at first it's a little different. You know, you're not quite used to that sort of thing. I don't remember ever being hugged a lot as a kid. No, my childhood wasn't that bad. But, you know, they just, you know, you're in a different family. And see, that's the way it is with God. You know, we're accepted now. You know what I mean? You know what it feels like to be accepted? I mean, to be accepted, you need to compare it to, have you ever went somewhere and you weren't accepted? You know what that felt like? Maybe you walked into a room and nobody turned to look at you. I mean, you look around and everybody's in conversation and you just don't feel accepted there. Nobody's paying any attention to you. And that feeling that comes over you that, man, I just don't fit here. But see, it shouldn't be like that with the children of God and coming into the church. You know, hopefully you feel accepted here. And more so than feeling accepted at our church, hopefully you feel accepted into the family of God. God has brought us into relationship with Him. He's not making us measure up. A lot of people in life try to cause us to measure up before we fit in. But see, God doesn't do that because He knows we can't measure up. You know, our righteousness is filthy rags. That's why we needed Jesus Christ. So, you know, what I see that we need to do is we need to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to identify with that. There's so many things people identify with now. You know, we're not going to go into those things. But and that's why we're going to be doing a water baptism coming up. And we do baptism by immersion. You know, where you go down in the water, it's a symbol that you died with Christ. And we don't leave you there. You know what I'm saying? We don't hold you down. We bring you back up. Well, I try to help you. Really, you're on your own a little bit, you know, sometimes getting up again because, you know, I have limited resources in these biceps, you know. But, you know, but when you come out of that water, it wants to paint a picture in our mind that I rose with Him. I'm alive with Him right now. And see, that's what we need to identify. We need to get that ingrained in us. We're not just like who we always have been. We're not the same person that we always were, but we're a new life in Christ. See, we live in a culture where so many people are trying to identify as something that they're not. But Christians, we at least need to start identifying as who we are, right? There's so many Christians that don't identify with Christian ways or the life of Christ. We need to see ourselves like that. You know, if a guy can identify as a man and win the swimming championship, you know, over women, surely we as Christians can identify with our Lord Jesus Christ and start to live that overcoming life. See, I know what attack's about. I know what battles are. You know, you want battles, you know, try to move back to your hometown and maybe start a church. You know, and do things for God. I mean, there's so many things and so many past memories that I could actually, you know, say, well, I can't do that because I used to do this. Well, see, that guy died. That's not me no more, so I'm a new life, so it doesn't matter what I used to do in this town. I know what I'm doing now, amen? You know, I want to bring people to Jesus Christ. I want to see them build up in the family of God. I want to see them overcoming and not be overcome by the things of this world. Because I do this, know this, that through Jesus Christ, we can walk in victory. I know that battles do come, and they do come hard sometimes. But I do this, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I know there's nothing in this world that can hold me back because I have the greater one in me. And I'm going to walk in that. That's my choice. I choose daily to walk for Jesus, live for Jesus. You know, and that's what we need to do. We need to identify as being a Christian and find out what being a Christian is all about. You know, maybe you've had a rough go of it. I know sometimes it's tough out there. Maybe a bad relationship, bad marriage, whatever it is. But I'm here to tell you that you're not that. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. God can call you to live in victory, and we need to do that. So to be in Christ, what it's talking about here, means that we must accept that the payment Jesus made on our behalf for our sins. We need to accept that. It's nothing we can do. And see, what I see with that is that Jesus paid our price, and he also picked up the tip. You know what I mean? So we need to accept there's nothing more to be paid. You know, sometimes you go out to eat, and somebody wants to buy you lunch or dinner. Don't know what that's like. But anyway, I'm not hinting, but anyway. But then you feel obligated to pick up the tip, you know, because you want to do your part, okay? Well, when Jesus paid the price, there's nothing left to pay. He got the tip. He took care of everything. There's not one thing that we can do to add to what he's done at the cross. And that's why we have to have faith in exactly everything he's done. We don't have to be a good person, but you want to be because of the life in you. It's hard to resist that love and that life. But knowing that he has paid for everything, there's nothing we can do to make it any better. And we just need to walk in that relationship. You know, the idea of being in a relationship that with someone who loves you unconditionally, even on your bad days, you know? And that's the relationship I have with my wife. I wish I was half as good as she is. Like I shared last week, I don't understand how she loves me the way she does. I can see it in her eyes, and it scares me, you know, because I don't know, how can she love me like that? I know who I am, I live with me. But yet she loves, and see, she can't hold a candle to the love that Jesus Christ has for you. And that love is unconditional. And you don't have to change anything. All you have to do is just surrender to him and start to love him back. You know, that's all you can do. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to, you know, do things and try to say, hey, I'm going to show you I love you. No, you just love. You know, that's what we need to be. And through that love, there will be actions that follow. But the actions should not try to generate the love. See, Jesus, you know, did everything for us, and when we are in Christ, we are no longer on our own, which means that we no longer are our own, okay? When you're in this relationship with Jesus Christ, he's living inside of you. He's walking inside of you, and we're never going to have to be alone. I know that sometimes we can feel lonely, but all you have to do is start a prayer meeting, amen? You know, and have a prayer meeting or a worship session. You know, and get some praise music going. And then you know, start to stimulate and start to walk in that presence of God. And it takes those feelings away. But in that same token, I want us to understand that, you know, that we're not alone in this, but also it means that we don't own ourselves either. When we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, that means we surrender to him. Now, what I found out in my relationship with him, he won't make you do anything. He will not make you do something, you know, that's really out there. A lot of people, you know, I know people are afraid to give their life to Jesus because, oh, I don't want to be a missionary. You know, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go do this. They have all these things that they think that God's going to make them do. But he's not like that. But I will say this. If you fall in love with him and he calls you to Africa, that's the happiest place you're ever going to be in your life, man. Because that's where he's with you. And he's with us the strongest, I believe, when we're walking in his will, whatever that is. And, you know, and God wants to be with you. He wants to spend that time with you. He wants us to be able to walk with him. And like I said, to get that revelation, you know, we need to see what it means to be that new creation. Now, this word new creature or new creation in the Greek, what it means is to make something that has never existed before. Did you know that a Christian, before Jesus made one, had never existed before? See, when it started in the relationship in the Garden of Eden, here Adam had no sin nature, you know. He was walking in perfection with God, walked and talked with God, and just had a good old time. But, you know, it was different for us, you know. And what we need to see is when Adam did that, you know, he did that, but still he fell. But see, as we walk with this new life, we still have this old nature kind of around us sometimes. You know what I mean? So this old nature keeps trying to stick its head up, and that's why we need to keep putting it down. And what we have to also grasp with this, and sometimes we miss this, especially if you kind of were a good person to start with. I didn't have that problem. You know what I mean? But, you know, maybe you're a good person and you want to be a Christian. Well, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking, Jesus has just come to improve me, you know, to make me better. No. Jesus came to make you new. Because even on our best day, we're not good enough for God. And that's okay. I can accept that. Some people just can't accept that. You know, they think, oh man, I'm terrible. Yeah. That's okay. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came, because he knew that we couldn't do it. And, you know my signature scripture is Galatians 2:20. Well, the ones after that talks about the fact if we can make it any better, then Christ died needlessly. If we can do it on our own, then Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. You know, but we can't do it on our own. So that's why we need to get this revelation of what it means to be a new creature. You know, like I said, Paul went from being a persecutor of the gospel to a proclaimer of the gospel. Now, I don't know if you've done some bad things in your life, but Paul did. You know, Paul did some very bad things. He was called Saul back then. He was so bad he had to change his name. You know what I mean? Have you ever had to go to a new town? Yeah. Witness protection. No. Yeah, he was, wasn't he? He was a witness for God. He was in witness protection. And but, you know, he did so many bad things, but yet he could still find it that new life was so real to him that he could actually go and maybe help the people that he used to hurt. That's powerful. That's the power of the gospel. A lot of times when you hurt someone, you want to run from someone. You don't want to be around them anymore because you feel so ashamed. And see, that shame comes into our life. And, you know, but Paul was able to turn that down and turn that around in his life. And here's what we need to do today, and we can have one later here if you want to, is we need to have a funeral. If you haven't had one yet, you need to. I know funerals scare some people because we know that at a funeral, somebody has lost their life. They have passed on. But see, you and I, we need to have a funeral for our old life. Forget the flowers, amen? There's no sympathy there. Yeah, praise God. You know, we put that old life to death. I'm not that old person I used to be. Now, I know some people may see me as that. I mean, over the years, they've kind of seen the difference, you know. But when I first moved back here, you know, some of them, you know, they thought I still identified as that other thing. You know what I mean? And they couldn't understand it. And like I've shared before, when my wife and I were dating, we're not quite engaged yet. So we just kind of, you know, it's good to check out. You know what I'm saying? You know, she was kind of checking me out a little bit because, you know, now she was a nice girl her whole life, but I wasn't. And I think the fact she wanted to know about me, I don't know if she's afraid I'd go back in the old life or what, but I mean, she just wanted to know. And so I wouldn't tell her everything. I've never told anybody everything. I've never done that yet. Don't know if I will. But when I'd tell her some things about me, what I used to do, it didn't have any pain in me. I didn't feel anything. what I felt was I was telling about somebody else. I was talking about another person. And to me, that was a revelation. That was one of those wow moments in my life, because I knew that that person was dead, and that was not me no more. I mean, I have that new life of Christ, and the things I used to do and how I used to conduct business is not me no more. And see, that's the revelation you and I need to grab a hold of. No matter where you've come from or what you've done, if you surrendered your life to Christ and you've given it over to God, don't take it back. Don't receive it back for your life. And maybe you've been a Christian and maybe you've stumbled. Give it to God. Don't take it back. There's more power in the blood of Jesus than any sin that you can commit, other than blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I know nobody has. Is that dumb, right? To blasphemy the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, anything else, the blood of Jesus can take care of. And that's powerful. So don't dig up that old life and you know, bury it and have that funeral. And like I say, forget about the flowers, just let it go. Okay. Now, I want to jump over into part two of this, which is talk about being a reconciler. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 19. Now, this is something that's a next step. You know, after the new life, a lot of people maybe don't go this far. They should, but sometimes we don't want to. But this is where we need to go. It says, now all these things are from God, verse 18 and 19. It says, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. We like that part. Oh, wow. That is powerful. I'm reconciled to God. Woo. Then it says, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's getting a little harder now. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, as he has committed us the word of reconciliation. Okay, now we love the being reconciled to God part, but now God also wants us to take another step and be a reconciler. That means it's a family business, you know what I mean? When I was a kid growing up, the family business was the farm. Well, now the family business is the church. And if you're part of the church family, that's the family business. See, and the family business says we need to be reconcilers. That means we can't hold a grudge no more. No matter what somebody's done to us, you know, we have the ministry of reconciliation. And it's important that we see that we have to play that part. And first to do that, we need to see that, you know, first we've been reconciled to God. God's not mad at us no more. You know, what I always like about God is, you know, is the fact that, you know, when I come to God, I just go right on in. He's my Father. You know, when you go to somebody's house, usually you knock, ring the doorbell, wait, make sure it's okay. But God says, come on in. Come on in. I'm reconciled with him. He's my Father. I can go right on in. I can go right into the throne room, you know, through the blood of Jesus Christ, of course. You know, I can't go on my own. But, you know, once I've got that, man, I'm not taking that robe of righteousness off, you know. You know, I'm keeping that on. See, the word reconcile is a divine work of God where God redeemed us to himself by paying the full price for that redemption. Okay, redemption, talking about you have to redeem something, you have to give something to get it back. Let's say you're in jail. And to get you out, you have to pay bail, okay? So somebody goes and pays money because they take your wallet away from you when you go in there. What a friend told me. But anyway, you know, you have to wait till somebody comes and pays the judge either your ticket if it wasn't too serious or bail money to get out. And see, that means you've been redeemed with that. That money has redeemed you. And see, that's what the blood of Jesus did for us. And through that, we've been reconciled to God. See, what happened here is God laid aside the wrath that you and I deserve. Okay, due to our Adam's rebellion in the Garden of Eden, and, you know, we inherited that from the old family, you know what I mean? So we deserve the wrath of God, but through Christ, that wrath's been taken away because we've been redeemed. See, two parties that are at odds with each other are brought back together in fellowship. Think about somebody, now hopefully this has worked out for you, but think about somebody you've been mad at. Maybe you got mad at a family member, or maybe a friend, and you guys weren't talking. You know, okay, marriage, let's use that one, that's an easy one. You know, let's say you really got mad at each other. But then all of a sudden, you know, I mean, there was times, you know, I thought, wow, I don't know how long this is going to take to get back together, you know what I mean? I mean, a week, you know what, you know? But see, what happens, though, when you get reconciled, you come back together. You're together again. And so that means you're not at odds with each other. Hopefully, you won't bring up the past. Amen? You know, if somebody, you know, that's where the idea of if somebody asks you to forgive them, hopefully you won't bring that up again. You know, unless they keep doing it, well, then you got another cycle of things you got to deal with. But the idea of being reconciled, and see, if we're reconciliation only is made possible through Christ, and I know that Jesus helped my marriage. He held my marriage together. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, I think chapter 1, verse 3, that he holds all things together through his power. And see, if you bring Jesus Christ in as that third strand, like it talks about in Ecclesiastes, you know, your marriage can make it, you know, and hold on. Now, sometimes there's things why you have to separate, if infidelity, all these things, all that stuff. We're not going to go into all that right now. But I'm just talking about if it's possible, the idea of that reconciliation, if it's there. Now, through that reconciliation through Jesus Christ, you know, he did all the work, you know. And maybe, you know, you have a relationship that needs reconciled. I'd say bring Jesus into it. But where we're at with this, with the idea of ministry of reconciliation, see, we're called to reach a world. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't have the pleasure of picking who we're supposed to help. You know what I mean? Sometimes the Lord will move upon us to help somebody that we may not want to help, that, you know, we don't think, you know, deserves our help. You know, have you ever ran into somebody like that? Can you think of somebody like that in your life right now? Somebody that is so far from God that you think they don't deserve to come back to God. God may call you to that person. Not to be mean to you, but to show you the power of reconciliation working in our lives. You know, when we reach out to somebody and say, you know, we're not holding that that against you. See, most people, as I was the same, do not have a proper understanding of God. I didn't have a proper understanding of God starting out. I mean, I had a lot of misinformation floating around up there. You know what I mean? You know, through other people telling me some things, or things that maybe a movie did that's not really biblical, you know what I mean? Or whatever the case may be, maybe hurt or pain. So I had a wrong understanding of God, what it means to come to God and be reconciled. But see, it's really hard sometimes to grasp that God wants a relation with us so bad that he sent his only begotten son to be our substitute. I mean, that's a hard one to swallow in the beginning, because, you know, especially if you've had children, I mean, would you give up one of your kids for somebody else? That'd be a tough choice, wouldn't it? I guess that's why he's God, and God's plan, how it worked out. And what he did is that, you know, if anybody had the right to hold a grudge, it would be God, probably, because we pretty well snubbed him, you know, with our life, and we rebel him and against him. And, you know, sometimes we come and say, oh, God, forgive me. If you do this, I'll do this, God. You ever done that? Make deals? I'm a deal maker, you know. We sing that song, Waymaker, you know. They ought to make a song, Deal Maker, you know, because that'd be one for us. Oh, God, if you do this, I'll do this. So God does this, and then we don't do this, at least not do it very long. So we have that sort of thing going on with this, and you figure God would get tired of that, but God just loves. He loves. Now he wants us to straighten it out and get right, but he just chooses to love for whatever reason. That's just how he is. And God was willing not to hold their trespasses against them. Now, like I say, think of somebody that's wronged you, done something wrong to you, and it's been really bad. I want you to think about that and think about that pain. Maybe you're getting mad right now. You know what I mean? And then I want you to think about, I need to let that go. I need to let that go. Even if they didn't apologize or ask for forgiveness for your spiritual health, you need to let that go. Because God says, you know, if God wouldn't hold a trespass against somebody, shouldn't we be willing to let go of people's trespasses against us? You know, I'm not saying you have to let them back in your life, you know, because some trust has to be earned, you know what I mean? That has to be earned. But far as holding on to that for that unforgiveness and that resentment, you know, the only one winning in that's the devil. Because for whatever, the same way that faith works with God, unforgiveness and resentment works for the devil. You know what I mean? It makes that stronger in our life, that separation, and what he's trying to drive a wedge. So just let go of that. Like I say, you don't have to let them back in your life. You know, if they earn their way back in, that's good. But for the most part, just let go of that trespass. Because we need to see through this passage here that through the ministry of reconciliation, you know, we need to try as far as we can go to be a reconciler. To be a reconciler. See, our Heavenly Father did not overlook our sin, but he found a solution. He found a way. He found a way to get us back into that relationship, whatever that was. And what I found out about reconcilers is that reconcilers forget the past and they look forward to the future. You know, I know how much I've been forgiven. And when I see somebody, you know, maybe it's just a gift from God, but, you know, I see opportunity. I see opportunity in our life to get turned around. I know what God could do for me. I know he can do for them. See, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. And if, like I say, I think I said this last week, think the best, forget the rest. You know, try to do that. And like I say, you still have to put some boundaries up. Boundaries are good. You know, but as a reconciler, we need to tell them that there's hope through Jesus Christ. You know, there's hope that you can turn your life around, that God loves you so much, he's not holding a grudge against you. You know, because I thought God was mad at me a lot, you know, for some of the things I've done. I knew it wasn't pleasing to him. So forgetting the past and looking forward to the future. Now, last thing I want to look at here is found in what's going to be the last part of it, but it's going to be the last topic, is 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, for though God was making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Okay? So first we have the new life. Then we have the ministry of reconciliation. Now we need to see that we're ambassador, okay? That's the next step in the process of where we need to see what God wants us to do. That we're an ambassador. You know, about this being a representative of God. See, we're a representative for Christ. We're an ambassador for Christ. And that word ambassador is talking about a messenger officially representing a higher authority. Okay, we have the higher authority. That's God, right? So we're an ambassador for him. You know, we represent him. A lot of pressure sometimes, you know, but there's really no pressure when you let him do it. But we need to think about, you know, how we represent ourselves to the world. And that we need to speak on behalf of Christ. Now, starting out as a Christian, sometimes that's scary. It's scary to think that, you know, we represent God in this world because, you know, we're not quite fine-tuned enough, we think. But yet, nevertheless, you know, if you've been born again, if you have that new life, that's when we start to be an ambassador for him, to try to reach people. Now, I do know this. You can't just preach Jesus to everybody 24/7. They will go to the other side of the street when you see you coming, right? I've learned that, you know. I used to be really intense, and I've chilled out, and hope I haven't chilled too far. Maybe I need to get a little revival going again in my life, you know. But there is opportunities God's going to open for you. He's going to give you an opportunity, a door, to speak into somebody's life. And we want to represent Jesus because when we're a representative of Jesus Christ, you know, we're doing something that's far, far better than we could ever do. See, many times, you know, the only way that people's going to see Jesus is when they see him working through us, you know. And, you know, I remember, you know, times in my life where I used to speak out on, or get angry about something that I just kept my mouth shut, you know, in humility. You know, even though the person maybe did something, I just chose to overlook it and not enter in and not get mad, you know, or say something that would maybe damage a relationship later. See, what we need to see is that we're to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. And a word that I don't like because I never considered myself this, but God tells us to beg. I never consider myself a beggar. I don't like begging for things. I'm more of a go-getter kind of person. But here, God wants us to beg, and what it's talking about here, the word beg, is to make an urgent appeal or plead with someone. You know, this is serious business. You know, the idea of, you know, heaven and hell and all that entails, you know, what that could happen. It's like if somebody was, you know, out on a ledge and you were there, I mean, trying to encourage them or plead with them to come off that ledge. See, that's what we need to do. People are living on a ledge if they don't know Jesus Christ. Simple as that. Either we believe what the Bible says or we don't. If we believe what it says, it says that those who do not know Christ have not surrendered their life to Christ, that when they die, they're going to be in hell. Hell was not created for people, it was created for the devil. God made a way for us not to go there. But when we reject God, it's only natural that we should have to go to the place that was created for the devil, you know. So we need to see that, you know, it's very serious business. And sometimes we need to humble ourselves. And, you know, a friend I preached at his church a long time ago, he wrote a little book and said, you don't have to be wrong to repent. You know, maybe you didn't do anything wrong in this relationship that you're in or whatever, who you're working with or something. But it's okay to repent or say you're sorry. You know, if it'll break the ice, what's that to you compared to where you're at with Christ? You know, we need to be the bigger person because the bigger one lives inside of us. We have the one inside of us that helps us do that. So we need to try to coax people off the ledge. In closing, our last scripture I want to look at, and this one here could stand all alone. It's a major scripture. It really meant a lot in our marriage, my wife and I. We still kid around about it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteous of God in him. And I'm going to tell the story. I've told it many times, but still I like it. And, you know, when we first got married, we were just out of Bible school, so we were really still working out our, really into it. We were on fire. And we take little 3x5 cards, and we write out a scripture, and we put it on the mirror in the bathroom. So when you're brushing your teeth or shaving, you can kind of meditate on it or think about it, get it down inside you. And just so happened, this happened to be the scripture that was up there for a while. We really needed this one, I think. anyway, we was, I don't know what we was disagreeing about. It's probably something I did wrong, but anyway, I can't remember. And we were discussing it very, not loudly, but heatedly, you know, because we was living in an apartment, the walls are thin, you know, so you hold it down, you know. But anyway, all of a sudden, we'd been discussing this so long, I had to go to the bathroom. So I went in and went to the bathroom, and I read that scripture, and I runned out of that bathroom. I just ran out of the bathroom, right up into her, and I said, guess what? I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Timing's everything, people, and that was not the time. But it was a revelation for me. I still felt good about myself, you know, because I knew I was still in Christ. And see, I want us to see that. You know, maybe you make a mistake. Maybe you get angry. It doesn't change your position in Christ, people. Don't think you can say something wrong and then you lose your salvation. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, and, you know, finally, I told her, go read the scripture. No, I didn't do that. I don't know how it ended up. That's the last thing I remember. And maybe I got knocked out. I don't know. But that was powerful, you know. And really, this is why. This is why we need to have that understanding. You know, we may think we can't, but we can in him.
Guaranteed.
Amen. See, to me, confidence comes from right standing with God. You know, I had confidence in life, but, you know, I was a little shy and something. But when I met Jesus, when I knew I was right with God, my confidence soared. I just knew who I was and what I had, and my confidence just grew. And lastly, we have every right to do everything he's called us to do. Don't let nobody or no thing stop you from doing what you believe God has called you to do. Because he's given us everything. This whole passage here, just keep meditating on this and get it down inside of you. Maybe you're not there yet. You'll get there. Amen? Yeah, you'll get there. See, the word, I call it the law of displacement. So the more you put in something, something has to go out. See, you put them good things in, the Word of God, and then it chases those bad things out of our life. And it's a out of our life. And it's a process. We just need to keep working at it. Don't give up. Don't give in. You know, don't surrender, you know, your life to the things of this world, knowing that you are a child of God and God's created you for victory. That's why we live here. We live in victory. You know, it'd have been enough if we get to go to heaven, but God gave us the opportunity and the plan that we can be an overcomer. And I want you to see yourself as an overcomer. That, you know, that you can overcome anything because you're not alone in this battle. Number one, you have Jesus Christ. And hopefully number two, then you'll see that you have us at your back. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the new life of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, you've called us to be able to walk in that and walk in that power. We thank you so much for the stirring of the Holy Spirit in our life, that, Lord, we're a reconciler and we're an ambassador. We want to see people come into the kingdom. We want to see them come to this new life that we've enjoyed so much. I want to give opportunity today, if you feel that you've never asked Jesus Christ. I always said I went a year to church before I surrendered. I just was going through the process of deciding if I was really to make Jesus Lord. And you don't feel you've done that and you want to surrender your life to Christ, I want to give that opportunity. Just stick up your hand if you'd like to surrender your life to Christ. And you've never done it before. Maybe you have, and you know you need to come back. You need to, what we call rededication or reconsecrate your life and say, God, hey, I went my own way for a while, but I'm back now. I want to stay. Just slip up your hand if you want prayer for each of these occasions, and then we will be glad to pray with you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for the stirring of the Spirit. Lord, give us a revelation that we need. We just pull down those strongholds that are holding us back. And Lord, we just want to walk in that new life, the new life you've come to give us. Lord, help us to walk in your power. Lord, help us never bow our knee again to those temptations or those things that hold us. But know that we have the power and the authority over it in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we just want to honor you with our life right now. In Jesus' name, amen.